Well, I know I'm really going through this, repeating it over and over, but that's all it is. Genesis 3, 1 through 6, simply God's thesis. Don't eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. The antithesis, the desire to touch it in Eve's case. And the synthesis was simply Satan coming along and getting her to overcome, circumvent, get around the barrier, get around the negative conscience, the fear of God. You won't die, and the synthesis is finding common ground with the world. And that's what she did. She found that God's tree was the same as all the other trees. It was good for food. That's physiological needs. It was pleasing to the eyes. You know, first was lust of the flesh. It wasn't lust, see, until they're drawn to it and then start thinking upon it. You're lusting after something. You want it. See, there's one thing to be tempted. And you just walk on. You know, lead me not into temptation. You know, deliver me from the evil one. And that's what you ask the Lord. Okay, don't give up on me. Because when if dad gives up on a child, and the child is out there, you know, he's telling him, don't do this, don't do that. He's protecting him from the temptations. Because he'll go there. He'll do it. And the fear of chastening from the dad is what keeps him going right. But if God gives up on you, he said, okay, I'm not going to warn you. You know, I've given up. You're not listening. You're as Hebrew says, you're a bastard. You're cast out. You're on your own. Do what you want to do. And you will. You'll just go out, and of course you'll justify it, you know, because everybody else is doing it. It's the norm. It's human nature. Well, that's what it is. The law of the flesh is human nature. And so you take counseling today, and somebody asks you, how do you feel? Well, you know, I feel I'm not being treated right. You know, I oughta, shoulda, mighta, coulda, had. That gratifying thing. You know, somebody else has got it, and I don't. You know, the prodigal son thought the gratifying thing of the world was his inheritance. You know, the world, by the way, doesn't give you an inheritance. Only God gives you inheritance. Only a loving father has an inheritance for his children. It's all those other, you know, the prodigal son's friends, they were living off that inheritance. That's what all social psychologists do. That's what educational, these guys, you know, oh, we care about the children. No, they're hanging around your child because he's got your money. And you're paying taxes. That's what they, you know, they clamor, oh, we need stuff for the classroom, and you say, well, yeah, we need food for the kids, you know, and that, we all say, yeah, that's great, but man, they're out there in line protesting for the money. We want your money. We live off of your money. And so the prodigal son leaves with the dad's inheritance, and he's got a bunch of friends, but they're just money suckers, you know, that's all they want. Until he's out of it. Are they hanging around after he's out of money? No, they're gone. They got all their drug money they want off of him. And he got into dad and mom's purse, and in that case, dad gave it to him, you know. And then he realized, you know what, I'm wasted. I'm a fool. I'm out here, you know, I'm in the pig pen. I'm going there, going to eat husks here. Wait a minute, my dad has slaves, he has servants, he has people who, like a father telling a child, he has people who, I'll just go be a slave, I'll just, you know, at least I know my dad treated his servants right. And so he went home, but what he found out was his inheritance wasn't the money, wasn't that which gave him dopamine, his inheritance was his father's love for him. Because his father was out there looking for him to come home. Always going out to the gate. Where's my son? So that's why Jesus came. He said, I want you to meet my dad. I want you to know my father's love for you. That's why the father sent the son. That's your inheritance, is eternal life. But you have to accept it. You can take it, and you can take the next breath you have, and you can't take it. It's a gift from God. Everything you have, you say, well, the house, you know, I worked hard and I paid bills, and the, you know, well, where'd that lumber come from? Where'd the drywall? All these material things around you, they came from God. Everything you have, everything around you came from God. That was God's blessing to you, and you say, well, I worked hard for it. Well, Yeah, maybe it was vanity that you worked for. Did you praise him and thank him? Give him glory? Or are you just vain, doing the dialectic pride of life? Because you design the house, you shape your room the way you want it, so every time you come in, you get a dopamine moment. You know, that's us. That's man at his best. You know, druggies, loving the world, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. You know, lovers of money. There's nothing wrong with money and pleasure. It's when you love it more than God. And so that's the dialectic. It's there in the garden. All of a sudden there was a loving of the things that God created more than him. And the trickery was to get us to evaluate from our feelings, not to evaluate from what Dad says. See, in the classroom today, we don't have teachers. We don't have traditional teachers who say, okay, what's right and what's wrong? You know, and if you don't know, I'll teach you. And hold you accountable to do what's right and not to do what's wrong. No, we have now facilitators of change who ask, how do you feel? What do you think? That's Satan. Satan just asked Eve, how do you feel about this? What do you think? Now, he wasn't that blatant. It was a subtle process. But he set up the environment. Whoever shapes the environment controls the outcome. It's called environment control, climate control. And so in the classroom now, we have facilitators who go around, get kids in a circle, dealing with social issues, socialist issues. Issues their feelings can be instantly tied into, and they're studying about tyrants who are dictators over their people, and the child has all of a sudden got these feelings, that's my dad. My dad keeps telling me what I can or cannot do, and he torments me, he chastens me. When he brings pain, I want to avoid pain, and here I'm running from him, and he's chasing me, and grates a hold of me, and all of a sudden I'm being, you know, spanked. Man, there ought to be a law against that. Oh, there is. Because we don't want God anymore. We want to be godless. Oh, we'll talk about God. We can go to church, but it's the paradigm that's being used. Satan knows Scripture. We can talk about the Father, and we love the Father, but you know, you can talk about how you love your Father and be in rebellion to him. You're just fake. Fraud. And so the thesis is this illusion. It's not real, but is real to us. And you buy into it because you can get your pleasures for the day. You can justify yourself. So, little formula on this notes that I have, if you uploaded the presentation class outline. The thesis, the antithesis, synthesis, the father's authority and the child's feelings. That's the words we work with. Now, if the thesis is the father's authority, then the antithesis is the child's feelings. And therefore, you can't get the synthesis. The child cannot control the environment to get the drug because of the father's authority. He is restraining the child from going down the street corner and getting drugs from the drug pusher and, you know, losing his inheritance to the drug pusher. But if we make the thesis the child's feelings, see, if somebody asks you how you feel today, that's dialectic. You know, homeschoolers experience this. When you tell your friends and family that you're homeschooling, you don't hear from them, oh, that's wonderful. You're training your children up in the admonition of the Lord. You're going to put them in an environment where they're accountable for their thoughts and their actions. No, you're not going to hear that because we don't have a patriarchal, God-fearing, love of his word people. You're not going to hear that in the so-called church because all you're going to hear is Karl Marx. If you've ever said this to somebody who said they were homeschooling, or somebody said it to you, here's Karl Marx's statement. This is Marxism. What about their social life? That's how you can tell who's a Marxist. Oh, I didn't know you were a Marxist. I thought you were a believer. See, I thought you were a friend of God. Oh, you're an enemy of God. Well, I go to the same church that you do. What happened? I thought, you know, here's the Word of God. That's our foundation. You're evaluating from the Word of God. But no, you're not. You're evaluating from your feelings. You're evaluating from a child's feelings. So if we start with a child's feelings, now the antithesis is the father's authority. He's the enemy. He's the one to be overcome. Now that's Mark's. Once you realize the father's authority is God's secret, that father's authority has to be annihilated. You got to kill the dad. Now, that's what in the Russian Revolution they did. French Revolution, the Chinese Revolution. All the revolutions of the world have been the killing of the father. This is a hallmark of quote-unquote democracy. Liberating the children from the father's authority. Now, when we come to earthly fathers, there's a problem. Because they rule for their own pleasure. But when it comes to our Heavenly Father, it's for holiness. But it's the same system, though. So Mark said, okay, it's the same system, so let's annihilate the system. And the first encounter of it we have is with our earthly father. So if we get rid of our earthly father, if we no longer honor and respect the father's authority, we no longer have the teacher in front giving commands, chastening, and casting out. But now we have facilitators who are getting the students to dialogue. They dialogue with yourself, first of all, that odd. Well, it'll be able to go out. But you open it up so they can discuss it in the classroom. Ah, discuss, important, because discuss is not dialogue. But they'll use the word discuss. Now, discuss is key because Bohm, who did quantum physics, he deals with this subject about the difference between discussion and dialogue. Dialogue allows your feelings, that's theory, well, I think, to have freedom. Where discussion is, you're holding to a position. You know, you have two people discussing an issue, and but each one's trying to persuade the other of their position. But in the classroom, we have the dialogue. How do you feel? To a consensus. In other words, we're going to find what everybody can agree on feelings, with sensuousness, consensus. And we're going to make that the deciding factor for how to respond. We're gone to Pavlov's dog, stimulus response. Everybody in that room is the facilitator of change, just dog. They're the facilitator. They're Thorndike's chickens. You're just a bunch of chickens learning how to jump through hoops, following your feelings. So if we start with the thesis as the child's feelings, and the father then is now, it's automatic. He's going to be the antithesis. He's going to be the negative and the divisive and the hateful, intolerant, prejudiced, maladjusted, lower, and thinker, unadaptable to change. And so your position again comes from your father. So if we get rid of the father, you have no position. You have no property. Everybody who drives by your land sees those trees and they get a dopamine rush. And you've decided that the dopamine is now more important. The feelings are more important than your property rights. You don't own it. It's everybody's property. See, that God's tree is everybody's tree. Mark said the king's horse is everybody's horse. See, now you have Rousseau, the earth belongs to no one, and is fruit to everyone. So your children belong to the world. And we end up with, Hegel. Hegel writes about the child. The child is the heart of the whole thing, not the parents. And so the dialectic is all about how we can undo the father's authority in the lives of the children, in the thoughts and actions of all of mankind. So how this works is simply in the dialogue. How can we move people away from the preaching and teaching paradigm to the dialogue paradigm? And of course, the first thing you have to do is get rid of the father's authority. You have to remove the barrier from the classroom. And that's all Satan did. You won't die. That's the lie. You will die. You disobey the father, there's a consequence. And you say, well, man, I already have. I mean, everybody's doing it, so they must be right. No, they're wrong. They're deceived, and they're taking pleasure in deceiving others. And that's where the money, the money is just drug money stored up. put money in the bank. It's just drug money stored up. You don't save the money for, you say, well, okay, I'm going to save money so I can give it to somebody else. But you get dopamine. Christmas is just one big drug party. Dopamine, dopamine, dopamine. So the only way we can get to synthesis, world unity, what do we all have in common? What do you have in common with the communist Chinese? What do you have in common with every person on the face of the earth? The lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. But if you get rid of the Father, then it's no longer lust. See how that works? It's just normal human nature. And now we can have synthesis. We can all get along. So all you see today, and when you have your town council and they talk about bipartisanship or consensus. They have all different terms in Libra. You know, all these different terms meaning the same thing as we have got rid of the Father from the room. Because everybody comes in with a different father, you know, and each father has their position. And so now we bicker and complain because you say, my dad's right and you're wrong. In other words, my position's right and yours is wrong. And we have to limit government. See, we can't have totalitarianism. We can't have socialism. We can't have communism. And because we have limited government, we go to majority vote. And we go to private ballot so everybody can keep their conscience. They're not put under pressure. Well, who voted this person in? Well, we can't access them. They're coming from, we can't put pressure on them. You know, get them willingly to participate. Well, you never willingly participate in the dialectic process. You're in that room realizing if you don't go with a group, you're not going to get the drug. They got you hooked on a drug. What you can get out of the situation. So the synthesis is simply children united and controlling the environment. But they're really being controlled. You never control the environment. See, what you control, say, okay, I have this beautiful home, I've worked hard, I have control over it. No, it controls you. When you're paying the bills, you're working, you're burning the candle at both ends. It's controlling you. You're on a drug. It's controlling you. And so that's what the drug pusher, that facilitator of change. I don't care, you can be your quote-unquote minister up in front of the pulpit. When he says, I'm going to be a facilitator of change, he is a drug pusher. He is seducing you with your feelings. He is deceiving you, saying, oh, this is going to work. This is wonderful. We're going to reach more people in the name of Jesus. Well, Jesus said to those who, Lord, Lord, look at all the wonderful things we've done in your name. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. How does Jesus know you? You die to your drug addiction. You die to the world. You humble yourself and deny yourself and follow him. And you therefore have direct access to his Father. But that's not what, no facilitator of change can present that in honesty. Now he might say that up front because he's going to seduce you first, get your trust, and then he's going to deceive you. And then he's going to manipulate you because he's going to get that money and your volunteerism into this program and to bring others in. We're going to bring them all together. That's the broad path in a process of change. And so he controls the environment. And the environment has only one agenda. It's what Satan did in the garden was to get rid of the Father's authority. And the moment that Adam and Eve were tied to their feelings and the world around them that gendered it, that stimulated, and the response was natural. It was just human nature now is free. That's the role of a counselor. That's what psychiatry is. That's like psychology, psychoanalysis, all of this. Sociology, it's all about finding what we all have in common, and what do we have in common is our carnal nature. And so, what is the facilitator? What is the ministers? What are these people who have portfolios over people? All this networking. If you're the more portfolio, the bigger the control you have over people, the more inheritance you get from the Father. They're giving you their breath that came from God. They're giving you everything God gave them. Now you listen, you so-called ministers. You're a thief. You're taking from everybody you're bringing into this process, their soul. You've redefined their soul, which is God's soul. You know, it's not God's soul, but it is subject to God. And you're taking it for yourself, and you're taking, you're, you know, building that big building, and you're living in your nice house and taking your wonderful little trips. And some of these ministers live in poor parts of town, and everybody's poor. This is a Catholic church. You know, the Pope, man, he's got all that gold around him. Of course he'll go out and put up a show. You know, kiss the feet of poor people, but he goes home to his jacuzzi, and they go home to their bug-infested hut. Oh, I care about you. No, these people don't care. The world doesn't care about you. Only God cares about you. Wow, he chastens me. I don't get what I want. He cares about you. Because he knows if he leaves you alone, you'll destroy yourself, and you'll destroy your children, and you'll destroy your home, and you'll destroy everybody you come in contact with, because you're on a drug. You're no different than that kid who gets in his mom or dad's purse and takes their money. Gets in dad's wallet. You know, beat the family up, destroy the family, a personal drinking. You know, he can't see it. He can't in himself. Get off the drug. And that's what God's Word does. And today, you know, you share God's Word and people's eyes glaze over because it's a foreign concept. It's hated now. You're being trained to hate the Father's authority. Every show on TV is shaped around mocking and ridiculing and annihilating the Father's authority. That's Karl Marx. That's Sigmund Freud. That's Satan in the garden. All one and the same. So we have a culture that can't handle the preaching and teaching. You know, because preaching and teaching, you give you commands and rules, and then there's chastening and there's being cast out, and you get knowledge from that. My people are destroyed for lack of what? Knowledge. Why? Because they don't accept God's Word as is. They've got to make it a mystery book, and so, oh, this is like reading these novels. It's just a novel. We'll make these plays, and by the way, the eyes are more powerful than the ears. Anytime you take the Word of God and you put it in a movie form, you're being deceived. Because your visual will overrule the hearing. Faith comes by hearing of the Word of God. That's why you need to open up. And I talk about the Textus Receptus. I've been kicked out of churches because of this alone. Churches that wanted to hear my presentation, you know, on the dialectic, but I go to the root of the problem. It's the Word of God itself that is hated. I don't know of seminaries today, if any of them, that recognize the Textus Receptus as a source of the translations. And they go to Metzger and Allen and Nestle Greek, which are all built on heresy sources. And the reason for that is the ministers can dialogue. They can share everybody's opinion. Well, I think, I feel. And then they you know, the Bible talks about that they're heretics, and they go out and make sons worse than them. Because they don't want it. The Word of God is clear. It's simple. It's complex enough the most intellectual person can, you know, you can work the rest of your life. And I open up the Word and I'm learning something new every time I meditate on the Word of God. There's something new. I'm you know, just a fool. Bible says we're to call ourselves fools when it comes to God's Word. He's wise. We're fools. And he's the one who gives us wisdom and clarity of mind and understanding and knowledge. But no, we've gone to this approach pleasure and avoid pain of the child. We've rejected the preaching and teaching. We've gone to the dialogue. And so we've bought into the children of disobedience. The wrath of God is upon these children of disobedience, these facilitators of change, who are helping the children to think through their feelings, helping you to think through your feelings so you can build relationship with others and get along. It's not that you don't want relationship. That was the pain of the cross as well, is the approval of others. Jesus was a mocking example. You know, you don't hang somebody on a cross without shaming them. The shame of the cross. It's painful. That's what I've met students who the teacher shamed, mocked, and ridiculed the students. Actually got the students to mock and ridicule the student who came in and said, this is right and that's not. Teachers who have been had to go through mediation because they told their students when they were misbehaving, I'm going to tell your parents. Whoa. line them up and shoot them. That teacher. You know, they, well, you don't have to shoot them today. You just put them through remediation until they finally give up. It's like brainwashing. You just harass the person until finally, they're if they want a job, if they want anything, the Bible, you won't be able to buy or sell. That's where we're going. You won't be able to do anything without participating in the process. People are going after the UN and all these organizations, Illuminati, Masons. You know, it's a system, and it's the same system. It just depends upon how sophisticated or what direction or who's leading it, because there's all facets of the system, but it's the same system as Genesis 3, 1 through 6. Everybody's thinking through their feelings, thinking through the flesh. They're sharing their thoughts with everybody else. And so they're unfrozen. Well, how do you feel? What do you like? What do you not like? And once we find something we can all agree on, we can dialogue, we get your oughta, shoulda, mighta, coulda, which you've been talking to yourself about, open into the room, we can all find something we've all been talking about that we can agree on that's social. Well, you've been manipulated because somebody brings in the information that stimulates you. And you say, oh, let's do this, not knowing that you were set up. You're a dupe. You're a dope. You've been duped. That's all the training. That's why you go years and years of training as a facilitator. Because you're just learning how to seduce and deceive and manipulate more skillfully. And making everybody who comes in and participates under your manipulation, you being manipulated yourself. Dopes. That's where we get, you know, dope is from dopamine. Druggies. Lovers of the world rather than lovers of God. And you can do this in the name of Jesus. That's the greatest deception of all. And the agenda is to move everybody into oneness, into this feeling of oneness. Oh, wonderful peace we have. The Bible says, peace that is not peace. Only God can give you peace. They can put you on a cross and you can have peace. You can have joy. Jesus looked forward to the joy that lie ahead. But you know, if your house burns down and you're happy, better check you out. I'll admit that. But if you got the joy of the Lord because you gave your house to the Lord and you're looking to, okay, here's, Lord, I don't know where this is going, but I'm trusting you in it. You can have peace and joy in the midst of the storm. But the Bible says their hearts will fail. And this is going to be in the church. The hearts will fail because they have not put their trust in the Lord. They've leaned to their own understanding. And so the whole process, you're being unfrozen by your feelings. Somebody gets your feelings out, moving you to a group hug with his feelings, and then refreezing you by having you work on a project based on your feelings. And by the way, every project you do by a facilitator of change is to kill the father. That means somebody comes to the board with open up the Word of God and shares the Word of God, they're going to kill him. And that's their duty. Everybody, all the board members are learning how, with the aid of the facilitator of change. He's my minister, whoever's doing it, might sit there silent. They're just observing, oh, did this class learn how to martyr the believer? This fool who came in and opened up the Word of God and says, the Word of God says. I'm sure there's somebody listening that sat in that board meeting and was even silent while they crucified him. See, nothing new under the sun, isn't there? That's why I focus on those scriptures. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. If you're trusting in the Lord with all your heart, you're going to be speaking His Word. You can tell a minister of the Word of God because the congregation isn't talking about him or men's opinions or what so-and-so says. They're opening up the Word of God and instructing their own in the Word of God and introducing the world to the Word of God. That's how you can tell the difference between the ministers of the devil and the ministers of the Lord. Now, you can have wolf in sheepskin, but there's also the hirelings. You know, the hireling is the one who's living for the salary. The wolfskin is a facilitator of change. He's acting as though he's a sheep, but he's a wolf. He's living off the flock of God. And my closing statement to these ministers who are doing this process, taking the bride of Christ and putting her down at the street corner, selling her as a prostitute, woe be to the man who uses the bride of Christ for his own gain. See, I don't have to worry about judging them. We have no authority to do that. But we can expose what's going on. Expose Satan's devices. And God, he's made it very clear. His wrath is upon those children of disobedience, those facilitators of change. So I encourage you to stand alone with the Lord, if that's what it requires. Sometimes that happens in life. You don't want that. You want to have the fellowship and relationship with others. But in the end, you know, it's by his blood and your testimony, and you love not this life to the death. So trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Quit evaluating what's going on by watching TV and everything else, reading the paper and listening to radio. Evaluate what's going on in your life from the Word of God. And in all your ways, acknowledge Him. Now, I'm really going to get you in trouble. But let Him be the one who directs your steps. He's a loving Father. He will direct you in the ways of righteousness.